Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to do Exodus chapter 26, verses 15 through 37, the last half of the chapter. We'll call this section The Frame and Curtains of the Tabernacle. I am in the middle of the detailed explanations of the construction of the tabernacle. I feel like a frustrated architect. I feel like I need AutoCAD as well as Bible commentators to help me through this. But we're going to give it our best shot. Our context is this. Our previous chapter covered the coverings of the tabernacle, the four coverings, the linen cover, the goatskin cover, and then the two leather coverings, the ramskin dyed red and the porpoise skins or sea cow skins on the top. And now in this chapter, we're going to talk about the wooden frame of the tabernacle and also the curtains, the two veils, the first and second veil at the front door, and also the door separating the holy place and the holy of holies, those two frames. And that's what we're going to cover now. So we'll start in Exodus 26, verses 15 through 17. Then you shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood. Remember, this is God speaking to Moses. Then you, Moses, shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. There shall be 2 tenons for each board fitted to one another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. All right, so we've got a certain number of boards standing up on the walls of the tabernacle and the length of the tabernacle. Each one is 10 cubits high. It doesn't say how many boards, but we know from verses 18 through 21 that there's 20 boards for the south side and 20 boards for the north side. So let's picture the tabernacle facing the east. So if we're inside the tabernacle facing out the east door, to our right will be the south side, and to the left will be our north side. And on the left and the right sides, the south and the north and the south sides, we've got 20 boards on each side. All right, if each board is 1.5 cubits wide, according to Exodus 26:16, 20 times 1.5 is 30 cubits long, which is exactly the length of the tabernacle. 20 cubits long for the holy place and 10 cubits long for the Holy of Holies. So that fits. Now, each one of these boards, each board is 10 cubits high, so that's, and we know that's the height of the tabernacle. Each one of these boards has 2 tenons projecting from the board. A tenon is a kind of like a ball that fits into a socket. The NIV has projections. And so each board, each 1.5 cubit wide board, has 2 tenons, and each of those tenons fits into a socket, a silver socket, as we'll see in a little while. We go now to Exodus 26, verses 18 through 21. You shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for its 2 tenons. So there's 10 boards, 2 tenons apiece. That's 40 tenons on one side. And then, of course, on the other side, you got 40 more tenons and 10 more boards. And you've got 10 more boards and 40 more tenons. You got 20 more boards and 40 more tenons on the south side. Verse 20, and for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, 20 boards and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. Now the issue we want to look at here, the sizes of the boards are straightforward, no problem, but the issue is, are these boards solid, or these frames, as the NIV puts it, are supports, as the Holman Christian Study Bible puts it, I'm just going to call them boards. Are they solid or are they open on the inside? Now think about it. If they're solid, nobody's ever going to see the linen covering. There's a linen covering that goes over the boards, up one side, across the top, and down the other side. And then on top of that linen covering, there's a covering of goat's hair. And then over that, there's the ram skin dyed red. And over that, there's the porpoise skin. All right, so nobody's ever going to see all that beautiful blue and purple and scarlet cherubim that are sewn into the blue linen cloth. So some people say the frames are hollow on the inside. In other words, it's not just a solid board, but it's a frame that goes around an open space so that if you're looking at it from the inside, of course, on the outside, you're not going to see it regardless of whether it's open or closed. But on the inside, at least, the boards will be open and you can see the backside of that blue linen cover with all the sewn in embroidered cherubim there. And that makes a lot of sense to me. It doesn't say. Now, of course, you could say God's not interested in showing that stuff. It's just the fact that it's there. because he wants it to be there. It doesn't need it to be shown. So I guess we could go either way on that. But I'm going to assume they're open, and I think that would look good on the inside. Now let me read you some general observations about this tabernacle that's being built here. Here's one from a website called Maravot.com. Quote, the tabernacle was designed as a building that could be moved around the desert like a tent, raised and taken down relatively easy. The court and its pillars and hangings and bronze sockets, the boards, bars, gold tenon, silver sockets, gold ring, and three curtains, all of which I'm going to go over here, did not make the moving of the structure easy. So, yeah, it was a tent. You could take it down and move it, but there was a whole ton of heavy stuff they had to carry with it. Now, let's talk about these tenons. I don't know if I told you. I don't know if the scripture said they were gold. I know they're gold. How do I know that? Well, somewhere in this scripture it says they're gold tenons, so we're just going to hold on to that for a minute. They were gold. Now, let's talk about that by quoting Maravot.com. Quote, the gold tenons are odd, since gold would not have been the best material if one were using the tenons as devices to stabilize the boards. We know that the winds of the desert would tend to destabilize the boards. Thus, a pin in the bottom that is inserted in the ground would provide stability. That's the pin at the base of the silver socket, anchoring the boards to the ground. Since the time the tabernacle was introduced was the late Bronze Age or early Iron Age, we may wonder why bronze was not chosen as the tenons of the tabernacle, or even better, iron. They chose to use gold for the tenons and silver for the sockets, two very soft metals that would have provided more grief than stability. Well, they might be soft, but again, this idea of beauty here, not just structural stability, beauty. We're going to see here there's a pattern. The closer you get to the Holy of Holies, where God is, the more valuable the metal is that's used. We're going to see that when we get to the pillars of the curtain that goes around the wall of the outer court, those sockets are going to be bronze, but now we got silver sockets at the base of the tabernacle for the sockets, and then the gold tenons that go into those silver sockets, so those gold tenons are even closer to the Holy of Holies, and so the closer you get, the more valuable the metal gets. Now, how many sockets of silver were there around the base to hold the tenons of the boards? Well, there were 100 of them. How do we compute that? Well, there were 40 on the south side, where there were 20 boards, two sockets each. So that's 40 silver sockets. And on the north side, you had 40 silver sockets, two for each board. So that's 80. And then we'll see in verse 25, when we get there, the rear had 8 boards across the back on the western end. That's 16 more sockets, two for each board. So now we're up to 96 sockets. And then we look at the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There are 4 pillars, and there's 1 socket for each pillar holding up that veil. So that's 100 sockets. And each socket cost a talent of silver, or required a talent of silver. We read that in Exodus 38:27. The 100 talents of silver were for casting the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil. Sockets of the sanctuary, 96 of them. Sockets of the veil, 4 of them. 100 sockets for the 100 talents. A talent for a socket. Now, these sockets at the base of the wall, how are they tied together? It doesn't say. They could be all tied together lengthwise with molten silver, but I would think that would require an awful lot of silver. Maravot.com, in their opinion, says that the sockets were anchored in holes which were dug in the ground. So they would put these bases with the two female holes in there. They would sink these things down into a hole in the ground to make them sturdy, and I think that's probably what they did. Doesn't say, we just speculate. We go down to Exodus 26, verses 22 through 25. For the rear of the tabernacle to the west, you shall make 6 boards. You shall make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear. That's for a total of 8. 8 boards, 1.5 cubits wide. 24, they shall be double beneath, and I'll talk about that later. The NIV has, shall be going from the top to the bottom, and together shall be complete at the top to its first ring. That's very confusing. I'll have to discuss several options about that. Thus it shall be with both of them, they shall form the 2 corners. So the corners of the rear are going to be a problem area we have to deal with. Verse 25, there shall be 8 boards. This is 8 boards in the rear on the western end. There shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets per board. 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. Now, a website I found called Watton.org says this, quote, the interpretation of Exodus 26:22-25, which is where we are now, has been and remains a problem. So I'm going to give you my best shot at it. The first problem, which is unanswered by an explicit text in the scripture, is how do the 8 boards in the rear fasten with the 20 boards on the north side and 20 boards on the south side? How are they connected, these corner boards? You got 3 options. They can either overlap by the thickness of the boards. The rear can overlap the end of the north side and the end of the south side. That would throw off the length. It wouldn't be the length of the tabernacle would not be exactly 30 cubits long. It would be 30 cubits plus whatever the width of the board is. Say it's an inch or so. Be off a little bit. Or option number 2, you could have the boards on the north and south lengths of the building overlap the rear boards by an inch or so, and so they could hook that way, and that would throw off the 10 cubit width of the rear end because it would be just a little bit longer, and say an inch on the north side, an inch on the south side. Well, I don't like that because it seems to me the measurements would not be rounded off, but would be exact, 30 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. So the third option is that the joints are joined at the corner with mitered joints. Now, this is the NIV Study Bible Solution. I think that's right. What is a miter? It's a corner joint formed between two pieces of wood by cutting bevels of equal angles at the ends of each piece. Now, bevel is when you slice off the board at an angle. So let's say that on the last vertical board on the north side, you sliced a 45-degree angle off of that board, and then the last board, the corner board on the rear, you sliced off another 45-degree angle on that board, and you ran those two boards together. That way, the measurements are the same, 30 cubits long on the north and south and 10 cubits long on the back, and then those boards would have to be joined together with a peg of some sort. It's hard for me to describe this without seeing it, but basically, a bevel is a slanted cut on the end of a board, and the two 45-degree angles would meet together and make one 90-degree angle at the corners. So that's how I'm going to solve that problem. Again, that's debatable. And then in verse 24, they shall be double beneath, and that is a New American Standard Translation, which is meaningless to me. Some people say it's double thickness. The NIV says they will be from top to bottom. From the bottom all the way to the top is how the NIV has it. The Holman Christian Study Bible has it. They are to be paired at the bottom and joined together at the top in a single ring. So that's how I'm going to take it. The Holman Christian Study Bible, these corners are going to be joined together. And I mean joined, that means the corner board is joined with the wall board, the sideboard. The corner board of the rear is going to be joined with the sideboard at the top and at the bottom. So it should be for both of them. That means both of the corner boards at the back, the rear, they will serve as the two corners. So now, the next question is how are these back boards joined with the side boards? At the top and at the bottom, and at the top in a single ring. So, now we've got to see how does the ring used to tie the boards together. Now there's two options. I'm going to give you the simplest option first. We're going to find out in the next couple of verses that there are rings on the side of the tabernacle, 5 levels of rings. And the Israelites were to run acacia rods through those rings to hold the walls together, to hold those vertical planks that are 1.5 cubits wide, to hold them together and hold them stable. There were also 5 rods on the rear end to hold them together. And so we can assume that the ring is talking about the ring at the top of the rear end on the corner that's used to hold the back boards together. This would be just like in our next 4 verses, Exodus 26 through 29. Let me read that real quick. You are to make five crossbars of acacia wood for the supports on one side of the tabernacle, 5 crossbars for the support on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 crossbars for the support of the back side of the tabernacle on the west. The central crossbar is to run through the middle of the supports from one end to the other. Then overlay the supports with gold and make their rings of gold, as the holders for the crossbars. So the rings are holders for the crossbars, and I'm assuming that this is the topmost ring at the corner that is talked about here in Exodus 26:24. The board shall be paired at the bottom and at the top all the way up to the first top ring. And that ring would be the ring that holds the crossbar. That's the easiest way to interpret that. There is another way, and again, this is optional. This is just leaves it up to people's imaginations. Imagine, if you will, the corner board and the wall board, the length, the board that makes up the length. Imagine them beveled, hooked together, so that you, if you look at it from the top, you will see a line 45 degrees running right through that corner joint there. And then what happens is there's a recess at the top that drops down a little bit, and then you got one half round peg on one on the corner board and another half round peg on the sideboard. And you, when you put them together, it makes a round peg, and then you put a ring on top of that peg, and it holds the two boards together, the sideboard and the rear board. This is very difficult without pictures, but I'm just going to say the ring is the ring that holds the crossbars that run through the back. Now, in that section that I just read, Exodus 26, 26 through 29, there was one verse we need to look at, verse 28. The middle bar in the center of the board shall pass from end to end. That implies that the top two and the bottom two bars of the five did not pass through from end to end, but that's just speculation. Many illustrations show it that way, but we don't know for sure. Now, there's an option of how these crossbars could pass. They could pass on the outside of the tabernacle, which I believe most people believe, and I do too. Some people say it could go through the inside of the thickness of the boards. Well, I find that hard to believe, because you'd have to figure out a way to bore a straight hole all the way through the little 1 inch or so thickness of the board all the way through from one end to the other. I doubt that. Or the crossbars could go through from could go along the length of the tabernacle on the inside of the tabernacle. But that would mess up the aesthetics. You'd see these bars running through. So we're going to assume they're on the outside. Now, there's an objection to saying the bars ran on the outside. They're acacia wood covered with gold, but you can't see them. All those beautiful gold, can't see them because they're covered by the four layers of material that are on the outside of the tabernacle. Well, you can't see them there. You can't see them on the inside. I say the inside in the middle of the thickness of the boards. You couldn't see them either. On the inside, you could. And so that's the advantage of saying that the rods, the crossbars, were running on the inside of the tabernacle. But I think the answer to that is the purpose of the gold was to be gold, not to be seen as gold. They just knew that this was gold. They didn't need to actually look at it. I mean, after all, you couldn't see the gold tenons of the boards either. They were covered up. They were sunk into the silver sockets. But they were still gold. So I think that's a specious argument. I believe the crossbars ran on the outside of the tabernacle. We go down to verse 30, Exodus 26. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have seen, which you have been shown in the mountain. Now, this is quoted. Actually, it's very similar to another verse in Exodus 25:40. We read this, "See that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain." The author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 8, verse 5, says this, these types serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, see, God says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So the pattern was pretty detailed, as you can see as we go through here, and Moses was to do it exactly like he was told. Now, if there were gaps, there were places for interpretation, I'm sure God didn't mind, like I've given you some examples of how the corner boards were fitted. God's not going to strike them dead for something like that. But basically, they had to follow that plan very, very closely. We go now to Exodus 26, verses 31 through 33. You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. This is the veil that covers the doorway between the holy place and the holy of holies. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. You shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, on four sockets of silver. You shall hang up the veil under the clasp, and shall bring in the ark of the testimony there within the veil, and the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies. All right, this veil has the same three royal colors, blue, purple, and scarlet. The blue and purple colors coming from Mediterranean shellfish. And the red dye coming from the worm Coccus alicus, which was attached to the leaves of the holly plant. These yarns of thread were interwoven into the linen, and they probably had the same pattern as the inside curtain of the tabernacle, doesn't say, but it probably is, this, which was cherubim. cherubim, we're going to take as angels of some sort. Now, this veil that was hung up as a partition between the holy place and the Holy of Holies had a purpose. It was to show that God on the inside in the Holy of Holies was separate from the Son of Man, which is on the outside of the veil. One could not just walk up to God casually. But note, in the New Testament, the veil is torn away. In the Old Testament, there was a veil. You couldn't walk into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. But now in the New Testament, the veil is torn away, giving complete access. Here's some scriptures that tell us that. And this is after the resurrection. Mark 15:38, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Hebrews 6:19-20, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. We go through that veil into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies. We have hope. We have an anchor for our soul. Where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So just as the high priest went into that Holy of Holies through that veil, Jesus in heaven, metaphorically speaking, went through a veil, carrying his blood, going up to the God the Father, and saying, their sins are covered. Hebrews 10:19-22, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So the author of Hebrews calls that curtain, makes that curtain a type of Jesus' flesh, because you go through Jesus' flesh, you end up in God's presence. Verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus' body was torn so that we could have access to the Father. The veil in the temple was torn after the resurrection to symbolize our access to the Father in the Holy of Holies. Now, there were four acacia wood pillars in this opening between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Each acacia wood pillar had a silver socket. The acacia wood pillar was covered with gold. There were hooks at the top of the acacia wood pillars, and that's where the veil was hung on. Now, there's an interesting word here in verse 33 that is a little bit confusing. Verse 33 starts out, you shall hang up the veil under the clasp. What does that mean, under the clasp? Well, as I've mentioned in previous chapters, previous audios, the tabernacle has coverings. The linen covering that goes up one wall over the top of the tabernacle and down the other side. You had a linen covering like that. You had a goat skin covering. Well, those two coverings were hooked together with using blue loops of yarn and gold clasps that went through the two loops to bring the two pieces of cloth together to make one piece. I'm not sure about the two leather coverings, but the first two coverings had these clasps that stitched the two pieces of material together. In the case of the blue, in the case of the linen, the fine linen, and in the case of the goat's hair. Well, that seam, if you will, that splice went right over the doorway that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And so those pieces of material were hooked together with clasps. There were gold clasps. So that's what's being referred to here in verse 33. You shall hang up the veil under the clasp. Because that's exactly where the doorway was. So the veil would go hanging under the clasp, which would then be right in the middle of the doorway, just where we want it to be. And then they shall bring in the Ark of the Testimony. The Testimony, of course, stands for the Ark of the Covenants. The Testimony is the Testimony, is the law, because God is testifying to his people what his holiness is. So the Ark of the Testimony is in there, and we have a place. The veil shall serve as a partition between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The holy place, of course, is the 20 by 10 section of the tabernacle that had the table of the bread of the presence and the lampstand. The Holy of Holies had the Ark of the Covenant. We go now to verses 34 through 37, Exodus 26. You shall put the mercy seat on the Ark of the Testimony in the Holy of Holies. You shall set the table outside the veil. So now if you're going from west to east, from the Holy of Holies into the holy place, you'll set the table that would be on the north side to your left, the table of the bread of the presence. And the lampstand opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And you shall put the table on the north side. Verse 36, you shall make a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. Now we are going again from west to east. We've passed through the holy place. We're at the front door of the temple facing east. And now we've got to have a screen a curtain, a veil, for the outside door. And we got to distinguish that between the curtain that goes between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. That has that we'll call that the four-pillar veil. This is the five-pillar veil. It's on the outside. It opens up to the outside. Five pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Now you notice the sockets of bronze there are not silver. When you get closer to the Holy of Holies, the sockets are silver with gold tenons. Here the five pillars were made out of gold for the outward screen, the outside screen, the outside veil, the outside curtain, but the sockets were bronze because they're getting less valuable the further away you get from God in the Holy of Holies. Now, I don't know why there were five pillars of acacia wood here, but only four for the inner veil. I don't know. But we do know this pattern of bronze on the outside, silver, and then gold, that progression of valuable metals. We see that in the construction of the temple. There was a bronze altar on the outside in the courtyard, yet on the inside there's a golden altar on the inside. Now, the mercy seat is mentioned once again. The mercy seat's been mentioned in other chapters. That's the Hilasteron. Atonement covers how the NIV translates it, and that's a good translation. Now, that word, Hilasteron, is so hard to translate. It has the idea of propitiation in it, which is to appease the wrath of an angry God, and that creates reconciliation between God and man. So sometimes the translations will translate it as reconciliation, and reconciliation is brought about because the sins of the people, which are exposed by the law, which is under the mercy seat, those sins are covered by the mercy seat. So the idea of covering of sins is there in atonement too. So you got atonement has the idea of propitiation, has the idea of reconciliation between God and man, has the idea of covering sins. Complicated word, rich and deep, hard to translate. The translations go all over the place. The idea that it is a seat is because God is seated there on his throne. He's enthroned above the cherubim where the Shekinah glory is, and so he's over his seat, his mercy seat, where mercy is given to the people, where propitiation of God is made, where atonement is made and reconciliation is brought about, and where sins are covered. A lot of rich stuff there. Now, as a matter of terminology, I've been talking about the outward doorway screen and the screen between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The Hebrews actually calls the inner veil the second veil. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies. That would imply that the first veil is the veil that separates the outside from the holy place. We could call the front doorway veil the first veil and the Holy of Holies veils the second veil. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so glad we are finished with this chapter, because it's difficult. We are now prepared to go to chapter 27, and I'm going to, in our next audio, cover verses 1 through 19. We're going to look at the bronze altar, which is outside in the courtyard. We're going to look at the courtyard itself, and then we're going to look at the oil for the lampstand, for the lamp, which is placed in the holy place. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.